Morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you with us. We're going to take a look this morning in our continuing series, the 33 things that happen when a person trusts Christ. And we're looking at items 30 and 31 this morning. So we're getting close to the end. But what we're looking at this morning is our inheritance in God and us being an inheritance to God. Okay? When you study the subject of inheritance in the Bible, there are really three types of inheritances mentioned in the Bible. One of the problems is that when people see the word inheritance, they take it to mean that it's the same thing in every case. And that's not the case, just like it wasn't in the Old Testament, okay? There's the word inheritance, let's just begin with that. Is the word kleronomia, is the most common word used in Scripture, and it's a compound word. Kleros means portion, and meno means distribute. So what an inheritance is, it's a distributed portion, is the idea. Okay, it's a portion that's given to someone. And we know in our own lives how an inheritance is. But we're going to look this morning at a spiritual inheritance that we have, not a physical inheritance. And we're going to see how it relates to our life and the importance of it. But first, let's pray, and then we'll take a look together. Father, we come in prayer, thanking you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, thanking you for the blessings of this life and for all that we share in our relationship with you. Father, we are grateful for this. And we pray for your discernment and understanding as we go through your word. I pray for your protection and direction as I teach. And then, Lord, I pray that your perfect will be accomplished and you be glorified in what is said and done here. We ask all this, pray all this of you in Christ Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. When we look at the subject of inheritance in the Scripture, the first thing I want to do is get the one out of the way we're not going to talk about, and then we'll focus on the two that we're going to talk about. When you speak of the inheritance that can come or go, if you will, that's spoken of in Scripture, one of the first places we can go through is in the book of Numbers and go to verse 14 or chapter 14. Chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, and if you look at verse 24, and what he's talking about here is in the Old Testament, their inheritance was possession in the land or controlling the land, okay? It wasn't a guaranteed thing. Not every believer in that Old Testament group was going to possess the land. If you remember the story, they were unfaithful and they died before they possessed it. Matter of fact, God cleaned out that whole generation and then he raised up from that group Caleb and Joshua, okay? We're going to look at the incident where Caleb is spoken of. Joshua is mentioned in Joshua 14, 8 and 9, that he's going to get a portion of the inheritance. But look at what it says here in the Numbers passage, Numbers 14, 24. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So not all those Israelites were going to inherit that. That concept's taught in the Old Testament. That concept's taught in the New Testament, that there's an inheritance that we can forfeit or that we can lose. That is not, I say again, that is not the inheritance I'm going to talk about this morning. The inheritance I'm talking about this morning is the one that relates to our salvation, okay? Our salvation in the sense of when we come to faith in Christ. And it's twofold is what it is. The first inheritance that takes place is that God possesses you and me. We are an inheritance to God. We are a portion given to God. Look with me in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, we're going to look at verse 9. Another way inheritance is translated is that it's referred to as either an inheritance or sometimes it's referred to as a portion, okay? In this case, the word translated comes out, he speaks of a portion, and in the second part he talks about inheritance. But a lot of times inheritance is referred to as a portion, okay? So he's using a word synonymously here. It says, for the Lord's portion is his people. In other words, the Lord's inheritance. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Now, Jacob is a person, but Jacob's also referred to as the head of the 12 tribes. So you understand God's portion here is the children of Israel, or people, individuals, if you will. Jeremiah 31, if you'll look there, Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. In that passage of Scripture, Jeremiah 31 and 33 says, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay, you see that? Those people belong to him. Now, the most common way that this is spoken of in the New Testament is, for example, in 1 Peter 2:9, a passage that we've been looking at a lot lately. First part of this message this morning just showing you where this stuff is, and I'm going to pull it together at the end and show you why it's important for our life. 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Underline that right there. His own special people. In other words, we are possessed by God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Meaning that God owns us, or we belong to him. We are the people of God. We are in a relationship with God. We're in together with him, is the idea, okay? That's the first inheritance. We are an inheritance to God. We are a possession, a portion for God. The second inheritance spoken of is that we have an inheritance in our relationship with God. That's the one Monty read. If you will, look in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to begin in verse 3 this morning, 1 Peter 1 and 3. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, note that, his abundant mercy, we obtain this not because we're better than other people, just like the children of Israel. God didn't select Israel because Israel was better than all the nations around them. Israel was just like all the nations around them. And if you rightly read the Old Testament, Israel was really worse than all the nations around them. And you say, well, how can you say worse? Well, after they were chosen by God, after they were delivered by God, after they were blessed by God, they turned their backs on God. They rebelled against him. That's worse than people that never knew him. And the same thing's true with you and me as Christians. A lot of Christians think that because they got a relationship with God, that there's something about them that's better than other people. But when you look at how Christians really are, that God has come into my life and saved me through the person of Jesus Christ, delivered me from my sin, guaranteed and promised me an eternal home in heaven, and blesses and watches over me day by day, and I turn my back on him still, I'm really worse than people that never knew him. Because after God's done all that to me, I still sin against him. That's why we're so happy that God is a God of grace. That it's not based upon my obedience. Because in reality, I rebel against light. I sin against knowledge. Not only knowledge written in Scripture, but knowledge because the Spirit of God lives within me. And I know when I'm doing wrong quickly. So therefore, boom, I'm really worse than an unbeliever. Hence, Paul referred to himself as, I'm the chief of sinners. In other words, I've written 13 books in the New Testament. I know God better than any man walking on the face of the earth. I've encountered him face to face in a physical sense. I've seen the resurrected Lord, my presence, and I know all that, and I still turn against him. I'm the worst sinner there is. That's what he's saying. And that ought to humble you as a believer to realize, folks, it's all of grace. It's all of God's mercy. And that's what he says here. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And here it is, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So I have, present tense, have an inheritance, and there's yet going to come a day when I fully experience that inheritance, okay? Look at the book of Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, the first chapter. Remember, an inheritance is a distributed portion, okay? A distributed portion. I have a distributed portion from God. Now, look at Ephesians 1 and 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Some translations say, which is the guarantee of our inheritance? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, let's look our way through this. What does that mean that the Holy Spirit is a promise and a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? Well, let's begin with our inheritance. What is our inheritance? Our inheritance is we have possession of God. God has us, and we have God. As a born-again believer, God brought my human spirit alive. His spirit came within me, and as Jesus said, his spirit will dwell with me forever. So I have an abiding presence with God. When I die, when I physically die, I will go immediately into the presence of God, never losing consciousness of God because of the presence of his spirit in my life. But I will come into him face to face in a real way. Now, what does he mean by this? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. What in the world is he talking about there? What he's really talking about there, folks, is when our glorification comes about. The third phase of our salvation. You've been with us, you understand. First phase of our salvation is our justification. We are justified by God. And what that simply means is I'm delivered from the penalty of sin. The penalty of my sin is eternal separation from God. But what Jesus Christ did is Jesus Christ came to the cross and he paid the debt for my sin. I violated the holiness of God. And he paid the debt for my sin. He bore my sin. He took my sin onto the cross and died for it. Therefore, I stand before God neutral. But you can't come into the presence of God unless you are as righteous as God because he's a holy being. You've got to have righteousness. And the righteousness that you have has to be equal with what God is because anything less than that will be consumed in his presence. So what happens at the cross, Christ takes my sin and he transfers to me, or the biblical word is, he imputes unto me his perfect righteousness. So, I stand in the presence of God with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ on my behalf. That's my justification. My sanctification is, I am delivered from the power of sin. Meaning that when I submit to the Word of God and the Spirit of God works in my life, He produces the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit through me, and I don't sin. Now, if I don't submit to the Word, then the fruit of the flesh or the work of the flesh is brought forth in my life. And that's a manifestation of sin. And I'm not being delivered from the power of sin. When I'm in sin, sin is controlling my life. When I'm submitted to the Word of God, submitted to His authority, yielded to Him, then He produces through my life the fruit of the Spirit. But the third phase is when I die, this old body right here, which has flesh, He's going to take that away. That's the redemption of the purchased possession. God has bought me, but He's going to take this body and give me a completely new body, and I'll be glorified. Hence, I will be delivered from the presence of sin. Penalty, justification, power, sanctification, presence, glorification. And so He says, when that day comes, the Holy Spirit has been given as a down payment to let me know that day is going to come. Because, see, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave. He doesn't leave me. He abides with me forever, according to Jesus. Now, you can believe Jesus or some preacher, but the Bible, it's your option. But the Bible says that He abides with you forever. So He is with me forever. His presence is in my life. And so I have an inheritance with God. I share in this relationship with God. Now, Let's get to what's important about that. Why is it important that I am possessed by God and I also possess God in my life? That's what makes me His own special people. He owns me and I have Him in my life. That is a unique relationship there, folks. The Christian does not seek God. The Christian has God. It's whether we're going to submit to the Word, yield to the Word, so that we fellowship with Him. That's so important to understand in our relationship with Him. Let's look at some references to this in the Old Testament also. Go with me to Psalm 16. The 16th Psalm, we're going to do a quick walkthrough of these. Psalm 16, and if you look at Psalm 16, look at verse 5. This is David speaking. He said, "You, O Lord, are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot." You see that? Even in the Old Testament, as a covenant believer, he had an inheritance with God. He had a portion with Him. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 26. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." There it is, that portion. I have God. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 57. Psalm 119, 57. "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words." But you notice in every one of these situations, he has a relationship with God. Now, why is that important for our life? Well, I want us to look back at Psalm 73, if you would. We're just going to see it in that psalm there. I think it illustrates it perfectly. Psalm 73 and verse 26. He says, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And then look down at verse 28. "But it is good for me to draw near to you, God. I've put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." Why is it important to have God as your portion? and to be possessed by God. That passage tells us right there, folks. Look at it. Look at that 26th verse. Look what David says. He says, my flesh and my heart fail. Now stop and think your way through that. My flesh, he doesn't talk about his flesh being in his sinful flesh. He's talking about his human body. That's what he's talking about. And with his heart, he's talking his inner man, his innermost being. He says, both outwardly and inwardly, I am failing. Now, why would he be failing? Because he is faced with the stressful events of life. How many times have you, and some of you may be right now going through it, seemed to get overwhelmed because you're encountering situations in your life? It may be a family member that's ill. It may be a problem in your marriage. It may be a problem at work. It may be that someone let you down. It may be an illness in your own life. And when you sit and you think and you focus upon that, what happens? You just feel overwhelmed by the situation. You just feel like, oh, I don't know if I can go on. I don't know if I can make it. This is tearing me up. I'm physically exhausted, and I'm emotionally or inwardly drained, and I'm about ready to quit. Folks, that's the reality of life. That's what happens to every one of us if we be honest. We're human, and problems come. And when they come, many times, they overwhelm us and we can't handle it. People get depressed. People go through serious anxiety, sadness, sorrow, grief. We're just overwhelmed. And that's what David says. He says, my flesh and my heart fail. And then he has a contrast in that very verse. He says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, the purpose of having that inheritance, having that relationship to God, is to know this, that is in my relationship with God, God can deal with whatever I face in life. My strength is not in my ability to bear up under it. My strength is not in my ability to overcome. My strength is in my trust that God is with me no matter how bad that situation gets. And though I look at it and I say there is no way to get out of this, my hope is in God. Because the Bible teaches that with God, all things are possible. You're talking about the sovereign creator of the universe that can overturn any situation, upright any wreck that you may be in. God can lift you up and plant your feet on solid ground and give you stability in a world that is very unstable. Folks, if you look at the world around you, whether it's your personal life or the life of somebody else, it can become overwhelming, even to the point of depressing, even to the point that, hey, there is no hope. But the Bible says, God is my strength. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I'm going to lean on God. I'm going to trust God to get through whatever I'm faced with in life. And God gives you that. See, the troubles in life are designed to draw or to drive, if you will, the believer back to God. You step out from God and problems will begin to erupt and overwhelm your life and it'll force you to go back to God. I had a pastor friend, an evangelist out of Louisiana, told me one time, he said, trouble is not your enemy, trouble is your friend. Because trouble will drive you back to God every time. He says, that's why James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because you fix and get close to God. That's why. I'm serious. When trouble comes, you're going to go to God. When good times come, you're going to go away from God. When things are going great, things are happening in your life, you're like, boy, I don't need God. I got a bank account. I got a full belly. My car's working. Everything's going great. Who needs God? And then all of a sudden, what does God do? he allows something to happen. He will come against one of those gods, those lesser gods in your life, and he'll show you, oh, wait, that is not your strength. Do not put your hope in uncertain riches. Put your hope, put your trust in me. And that's what happened to David. David said, I'm physically beat. I'm internally, I'm drained. Oh, wait. But God is my strength. He's going to sustain me. He's going to carry me through. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. You bet it is. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare your work. Folks, that's why we have an inheritance with God. As a child of God, you have a living, breathing, real relationship with Him. Now, I know that when you tell that to the world or that's expressed to the world, they shake their head, they laugh, and they mock it. But folks, if you've walked the path, you know that God will strengthen and sustain you no matter what you're faced with. If you're overwhelmed this morning, if your life is pressing down on you, rejoice because God is your strength. God will sustain you. God will take you through that. Put your hope in nothing else but Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. And rejoice that you have that, that you are possessed by God. And at the same time, you possess God. It is a sure relationship. That passage in Peter, when he talks about it, he says it's undefiled, it's incorruptible, it doesn't fade away. It is a certainty, it is a reality in your life. I tell you what will fade away is your problems, your trials. They will fade away. But your relationship with God will abide all the way through. Scripture says over and over that God is your strength. God is your refuge. God is your place, your fortress. One of my favorite psalms, they call it the warrior psalm, Psalm 91. When I was in the Marine Corps, our chaplain would always quote this verse. And you talk to anyone that's been in the military, it gets in a jam. This is the verse they go to. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. I won't trust in that which is outside. I will trust in that which is inside. And we have that relationship and that certainty because the Word of God promises it to us. And we get that in salvation. When you trust in the Lord, He possesses you and you possess Him. And He becomes your rock, your fortress, your place to hide. If you're facing trouble in life, if you're facing something that just seems overwhelming, this very morning, take the time to thank God that He is your strength. And confess, God, I've relied upon my ability. I've relied upon other people. I've relied upon material things, God, and I renounce that before your throne. Thank you for your forgiveness that I have in Christ Jesus. And I look to you for you are my strength. You are my rock. You are my inheritance, God. You're my portion because that portion is undefiled, incorruptible, and does not fade away. As the scripture says, the grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of God abides forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you something. You faced with something in your life this morning. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. Just in your own heart and your own mind, acknowledge that before God. Just name what it is. God, I'm struggling with this. God, I'm faced with this. And Lord, as your word says, I lay this burden upon you. As the scripture says, cast your care upon Him, for He will sustain you. And so you say, Lord, I cast this burden to you. And then you verbally proclaim, God, you are my rock, you are my strength. I will trust solely in you. I will rely only in you, for you are my strength. God, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you, God, that in your grace, you have given us all things that pertain to salvation. God, we thank you. You are such a good God to your people. Even when we forsake you and we pursue false gods, such as wealth, such as relationships, such as material things, Lord, or even our own self, we always are reminded, God, that we need to come back to you. For you and you alone are our strength. You will strengthen our heart, and you will give us the physical strength to make it through. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us. We thank you for this inheritance that we have through Christ Jesus, Lord. And might you be glorified in our life. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.